It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Monday, June 3rd, 2019. We have 20 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 10 to 15 knots gusting to 20, becoming northwest 15 knots to 20 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the north 3 feet at 5 seconds apart, and west swells 5 feet high at 10 seconds apart. Well, we have a lot happening this week in maritime things. This morning you're hearing a pre-recorded ship report because I'm out on Sunset Beach with the Navy near Camp Rylea as a media observer of the disaster drill that they're doing with Clatsop County Emergency Management. Now, this drill involves a Navy ship, a hovercraft, and an exercise to simulate delivering equipment using the beach in the event of a disaster. The public can attend this event on Sunset Beach, but they're cautioning people to wear earplugs. Yes, really, if you go, wear earplugs, because the noise of the hovercraft, apparently, which travels over the water on a cushion of air, is very, very loud, capital very loud. So just protect your ears if you do go. But it sounds like it's going to be a really interesting thing, and I'll tell you more about it tomorrow. So on Wednesday, also, we're going to start to see the Rose Festival fleet of military ships arriving in the river, as they do every year around this time, on their way to Portland for the Rose Festival. So I'll be telling you about various military ships, some from Canada, some from the U.S., that are coming into the river. And you can go up to Portland during the Rose Festival and board some of those ships and take a look around. Very interesting thing to do. And today I'm going to talk with you about something that was happening on the river yesterday evening that I hope is now resolved, about a ship that ran aground yesterday afternoon. It's an opportunity to talk with you about the complexity of operating ships on our winding, relatively shallow river for ships with a narrow ship channel. Things rarely go wrong. It's kind of miraculous, but they do sometimes. But as of last night, all ship traffic was suspended on the river, pending resolution of the matter of the ship that was aground off Altoona, a bit upriver from Astoria. But let's take a look at our ship traffic for the day. I hope that ships will be coming and going by now, but if not, you'll just have to wait and see when ship traffic is allowed to proceed. But I'll tell you what I know about what is probably going to happen today so far. We have 8 inbounders, we have 4 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 8 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the cable ship, the Cable Innovator. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the shipyard at Swan Island in Portland. And she'll pass Astoria around 7:30 a.m. If all goes well, she'll be in Portland by 1:30 p.m. And when these cable vessels come into the Columbia and go to the shipyard, they could be going there for repairs, but often they're going there to sort of be homeported there temporarily. A lay berth is what it's called, kind of like renting a berth temporarily. And they can go in there and sort of call this their home away from home, or perhaps their home if this is where they operate out of. And they rent a berth in the shipyard, and that's where they go. So this vessel is a ship that handles telecommunications cable, repairing and installing it on the ocean floor. So these are very, very high-tech vessels that come and go on the river sometimes. Next inbound, we have the Berge Halesand. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the Longview anchorage. She's going to be picking up a cargo of petcoke, and she will pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m. and arrive in Longview around 6 p.m. The Belle Étoile, which in French means beautiful star or even beautiful dancer, is arriving from Japan, headed for the Kalama anchorage, and she will pass Astoria around 5:30 p.m., arriving in Kalama by 10:30 p.m. The Belle Forest is arriving from China, headed for Portland. She's going to the Port of Portland to pick up potash, and she will pass Astoria around 8:30 p.m., arriving in Portland around 2:30 a.m. on Tuesday. The Dong Aglaucos is arriving from South Korea, headed for Portland. She's a car carrier with Hyundais on board. She'll pass Astoria around 10:30 p.m., arriving in Portland around 4:30 a.m. on Tuesday. The Peak Liberty is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's going to be picking up wheat upriver, and she'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage around 11:30 p.m. So an incident happened on the river yesterday afternoon, around 5 p.m. or so, with a bulk carrier that had been on our ship schedule here for a while, and you may have heard me trying to say its name correctly for the past week or so on the ship report. It's a bulk carrier called the Gorgoi Picus. She was outbound yesterday from Vancouver, Washington, loaded with wheat on an ebb tide, when something happened in the area of the river off Altoona, Washington. That's a bit upriver from Astoria, and she ran aground. That means that she hit the bottom and got stuck. The picture I saw, which someone took and posted on Facebook on Sunday afternoon, showed her kind of sideways in the river, looking to me like her bow was stuck and aground. Now, there's never a good time for a ship to run aground, but in this case, the timing was not too good. The ebb current was about halfway through its falling cycle, and the next high tide would not be until 1:30 in the morning, early this morning. So people were asking me on Facebook yesterday about what happened. Of course, I don't know exactly what happened because I'm not on the ship, but I can give you some educated guesses about what might have happened based on what's happened in past situations like this, when every now and then a ship does run aground. Now, oddly enough, it's not that uncommon for engine failure to happen in ships like this, for the engines to just quit and stop working, especially on older bulk carriers. And when this happens, it's not just a matter of turning the key and starting it up again like you might a car. The process of restarting a ship's engine is time-consuming, and in the meantime, the ship can't steer. So if she was executing a turn, and looking at where the ship was located, it's possible that she was trying to turn when this happened. If she lost steering, she would just keep going in the direction that she was heading when she lost the ability to turn. That could easily lead to a ship running aground in this kind of situation. Another interesting but not very good thing in a situation like this is that the ship is loaded with grain, so it's sitting low in the water, exactly what she's supposed to do, and she's leaving the river on an ebb current, which is falling. So the depth of the water underneath the ship is getting shallower and shallower with the passage of time as it goes through the tidal cycle. This means that under the best of circumstances, the ship only has a couple of feet of water under its very bottom, or keel. So any inconsistency in the bottom, like a buildup of silt on the bottom in a place where it's not supposed to be, or if the ship just strays too close to the edge of the narrow channel, that could cause it to run aground. And once she's stuck, she might have to wait until the water rises naturally again with the tide, or possibly, and tugboats might come to help pull her off the bottom. So much silt is constantly being dragged downriver on the Columbia by the heavy current that sometimes pilots have told me that silt can build up in places where it's not supposed to be. And on a heavily loaded ship on an ebb, this can cause a problem like this. So there are a lot of possible variables that could have happened. On the ship schedule yesterday evening, the pilots issued a statement saying that there would be no more outbound ship traffic until this situation was resolved. So why did they do that? Well, it's important that they don't complicate the situation by having other ships trying to pass a grounded ship, especially if she's sideways in the river, as this one seemed to be, because she could be blocking some or all of the ship channel. Now, overall, for those of us on land, an incident like this shows us just how complex it really can be to navigate huge ships on the Columbia River, and that even with the tremendous expertise of pilots and master mariners on board, things can happen. River pilots I've interviewed over the years have referred to what they call shoehorning ships up and down the river with just those couple of feet of water under the bottom. Pilots are always ready for engine failure, and they're always ready to do things like toss out anchors to stop a ship as needed. So there's a lot of watchful preparation going on and observation at all times during those transits up and down the river on ships. We'll find out eventually more about what happened with this ship, but I feel for those people aboard. This is a nerve-wracking experience for everybody. And once the ship is freed, she'll have to undergo a Coast Guard inspection to make sure that her hull was not damaged. So she may be in the river a while longer to take care of these things. I wish them an uneventful and safe passage as they sort this all out. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.